you're listening to the Sideshow, my apologies. But I went to press record on this, and in the background, you two had started playing. And I was hesitant on whether to do it or not, but I'm back in the company of Ed Burnham. Always a pleasure. Ever the gentleman. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Sideshow.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Ed, last time we were talking, I'm back in London, but we were in London at the time. I'm stuck in a bit of a time warp, doing a bit of work over here. But we touched on the project, but then I cut across and made it the Ed Show rather than the Peter and Ed Show, is fair praise on it,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah, absolutely.
Talk to me about the elephant in the room that I didn't want to talk about.
And we've asked myself and Donegan Gardens are going to be building at RHS Cardiff, which is, for us, is another new challenge and another new thing to do. So I guess we started off with, come here. Can you do this?
That's my Irish accent. That's terrible.
I didn't say it was going to be good. But you can do your London accent if you want. I mean,
get on my pub. So who's involved in the garden?
I think that's what's been so overwhelming, quite blown everybody away with this, is that we've had so much support from everyone just getting involved from the start. It started off, I think, with me and you saying, let's do this. And it's become, I don't know, it's become a phenomenal team effort from Giles, from CED, who have been so forthcoming in helping us out with materials and advice and design side. So, it's obviously for Perennial for their 180th year, which is, again, a phenomenal thing to be involved in. And if we can help raise anything towards that, that'd be a job done in my eyes.
I hope the music isn't too loud in the background, as by the way, it should be okay for you. Unless S Club 7 come on in the background. God, if that happens, I tell you,
we'll be out dancing.
There'll be mayhem. There'll be mayhem. The project is the garden at Cardiff 2019. I'm unsure how to do this one because I probably need to be possibly need to be part of it.
I can interview you if you like.
No, don't do that. So I'm not good at answering questions. For those who aren't aware, what is the garden? What's the backstory on it? What's the history? How did it all happen?
Yeah, so we obviously, RHS Cardiff 2019, it's for Perennial for their 180th year. And what we wanted to do was produce a garden that was going to help sell their message, really, I think fundamentally, in Wales, because they don't have a huge foothold in Wales at all. So if we can try and spread the message to people in horticulture and related industries that they're there for help, then the garden would have done its job. Of course, we got CED on board. They were more than happy to give their advice, their help, and supply their fantastic stone for the project. I think at this stage we're just sort of nailing the last bits before build starts, aren't we?
We're just about at that stage. I think we're days, if not less than a couple of weeks away from moving. Both of us shifting home. For those who aren't aware, it's quite hard to describe, or something Stephen Bennett said to me actually a while ago. Stephen was on around the time of Ascot, a very good interview, but I think I'd started describing a space with my eyes closed, and so I'm going to ask you to do it now. What is the space to be, the garden that doesn't exist? What's it going to look like when people get there?
It's the Cardiff Gardens aren't in particularly big in comparison to other shows, and we're dealing with a 5 by 5 meter plot. The space is really, if you can imagine, a space for someone that would to use as a generic garden, if you like. So we've got a couple of options on the seating areas using stone. We've got you come in and sort of what will be presented at the front of the garden will be a barbecue outdoor kitchen area with a hedge backdrop and lots of fantastic planting to give us the colour that we need. So you come into the space from sort of, if you really want me to go into detail, you come in from the right hand side, you come into the garden, you've got your kitchen on your left hand side, you come into the space, you go up onto a terrace. So we wanted to give it some height and some elevation, so you come up onto a terrace at the back corner, which will be a place for respite, sitting down, contemplating, that kind of thing. And then you've got your let's call it the action area, where the all the cooking is going to take place.
If I go biblically on this one, the RHS notes it as the perennial garden. That's the title on it. Designer Peter Donegan, contractor. Burnham Landscapes.
Landscaping.
Burnham Landscaping. Gosh, pedantic to a T. So this really is sort of flip reversal, but it's testament to you, testament to anybody who can see inside my head at all. Thank God it's on paper. Why are the steps floating? Does the garden work? Why have we got no grass in it?
We got the different level change, and I think that was key to giving the area a lot more interest. And what we were trying to achieve was something. We wanted to give the garden. Well, I think we can say that we're dealing with tight budgets on these kinds of things. So we wanted to get the maximum impact. And I think initially our idea was to get some stone, give it the impression it was floating, yeah. Get something with a bit of a wow factor that you could also then sit on and enjoy a G&T of a late evening. That's and that kind of thing. So and to sit and take in the whole garden and that view back. Actually, unfortunately, you won't get to take that in as a visitor to the Cardiff show, but if you were in the garden and you were involved in the garden, then you'd be able to sit and take in that view of the whole thing from back up, perched up high.
No lawn.
I mean, no lawn. I think that's probably there aren't many lawns in gardens these days in show, certainly not in the show gardens, and I think that's reflected in private gardens. You know, I mean, there are many gardens with lawns in, but you don't have to have a lawn for a garden, do you?
I don't think in a 5 metre by 5 metre space, I think you don't need a lawnmower. If you had a 5 metre by 5 metre garden, why would I want to invest in a lawnmower? Why? Not saying that who wouldn't want to cut the grass, but what I will say is if you can get up in the morning, walk out that back garden and see something that makes you smile every single day, that you can also use, that is functional, that has the kitchen, that has the floating elevated patio area, perfect for the gin and tonic, you say, and I will run with that one. We're not sponsored by a gin company. That's an in-joke if you're going to Chelsea. I jest. But I think I am now designing more gardens with absolutely no lawn at all. Not to say they're concreted in, they're paved in, but just it's clever, lower maintenance if it's done right. I don't mean mypex and bark mulch and weed prevention, all of that kind of stuff. If it's actually planted right and you understand, you listeners at home would know this, 5 factors required for the growth of any plant. One of them is light. Well, if you go with plants that decrease, like get to it, it doesn't stop the weeds coming up, but it does decrease it, which is all a weed prevention barrier will do. Are you finding that's a bit of a trend? It's not a trend that you'd see in a magazine, because it's not like a Japanese garden resurgence where it's gardens that are all just red and green as you drive through London, if you understand me. But are you finding that?
The no lawn gardens?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're dealing with a small space, because you want to include as many features as possible in a small space, but you don't necessarily want to cut a lawn that's going to only be 2 square metres.
True.
I mean, yeah, I only take some of the handful of that we've done recently, and of a small space, let's call it an average Clapham garden, central London, that kind of thing. You're talking about 10 by 10 if you're lucky for the whole thing. By the time you've got yourself a nice seating area, you want to be surrounded by some nice planting, you've got the natural element that you want to include, you don't really want to be cutting a tiny little lawn. And I think that's probably the why there's a rise in the artificial side of things. But equally, you want to maximise the space for what you want to use the space for. And in this instance, we're talking about using the space to cook outdoors, taking in the fresh air, using that space to then entertain in, sit in, whatever it might be. So,
do you know where we're staying in Cardiff?
Have we booked? We haven't even booked that yet, have we?
we've got all of the garden sorted, everything, and I mean meticulously, and we have.
We'll be staying central.
We haven't booked anywhere. If you live in Wales and you're listening to this episode of the Sod Show, or you've been to Wales, this isn't a, you know, send us free pizza. It's not one of them. But okay, I'll back this up. Oh, you're a regular to Cardiff. You're from Wales.
I'm born and bred in London, but I'm of Welsh descent, should we say. Well, I'm in and out there for the rugby anyway, so yeah. Let's just say I know my way around. That's why you hired me, wasn't it?
No, I didn't order food, no. Will be, though. I didn't hire you because you're a Welsh.
I thought I was a tour guide.
No, I heard you because you're a genius at what you do.
I was just after the compliment, that was all.
I'm going rosy cheeked here, you can't see it. When was the last time you were in Cardiff?
England v Wales.
Right. How did that go for you?
We don't know yet.
Oh, that's the next time you're in Cardiff.
Yeah.
And the next time Ireland play. Oh, we have a bet.
Yeah.
We have a bet. So for those of you who aren't on Twitter, there's things floating around in my head, as you know, and normally the guest takes control of the interview and says, can I tell you about this? And I say, sure. And then they talk and you listen to it. That's how it works. We don't really have a plan on this one, but we know it's about the garden in Cardiff. So the bet was...
Wales and Ireland play day before Paddy's Day?
16th of March.
Yeah, and obviously there's a bit of a rivalry there, isn't there? So I don't think
there's a rivalry. I started a rivalry with you because you like to wear a Wales jersey.
So, and ironically, the jersey will be coming off for the loser, I think.
So what's the forfeit?
For you.
No, it won't be for me. What's the forfeit if do you hear me? When Ireland win. When Ireland win, it means shortly, very shortly, the forfeit for the loser, which is you, is, I think, if I remember correctly, you have to stand on Main Street, whatever that Main Street is in Cardiff, wearing an Ireland jersey, singing either My Lovely Horse or... the Irish Rover, that was it. Videoed by Anna Skibnevsky Ball, who's the show manager. And then we changed it. We put an add-on on the end, didn't we? Yeah. What's the add-on?
The add-on is that, obviously it's quite fitting that we'd be doing it for Perennial, but the forfeit would also include stripping down for their annual calendar. On the garden.
I've got an amazing body, Ed. That's all I can say. I have. But then I'm not going to lose. It's not your phone ringing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, okay, there's a serious side to it, which is Perennial. And if you're unsure of the work, the amazing work that Perennial do, there's an interview that we've done with Anita Bates from Perennial. And if you get into that, you'll understand why that charity is 180 years on the go, why they do what they do, and why I think last night I said to Ed, anybody who can bring that amount of happiness to somebody who was so hard down on their luck was others, no disrespect, but the reasons I don't watch television, the reasons I don't buy newspapers, they tend to sometimes I say, not all the time, just in sections, but at least it's reported, you know. It seems to be the headlines seem to be the negative stuff. And Perennial get to walk in the door while things are falling apart around you and magically somehow or another make it better. And I couldn't ask to, when asked why I went to Cardiff as versus Tatton or Hampton, there are a couple of reasons, and one is, well, I think I'm the first Irishman.
Yeah.
It's your first time.
Yeah.
It's Perennial's first time. See Deer involved. We've an amazing team. Really have. An amazing charity by our side on their 180th anniversary. And we could have got a... we could have got a better medal on a bigger stage. Is that a fair way to put that?
Yeah, of course. Of course we could have done. But I think, and as I said before, the appeal was that the location of being in Cardiff was ideal for Perennial's purposes as well. So it's a box ticking exercise in that respect. That, you know, let's spread the word further than just where it's normally already been spread. So I think that's probably an overriding factor really for them, and it means a lot to us. So why wouldn't we do that?
All right. We're partway through and I got to order a bit of food. I'm absolutely starving, and it's freezing in London at the minute. It'll probably be warm on the day you listen to this, but it's freezing at the minute, and so give us a minute. I get a bowl of soup. You just keep listening. But in real time, we've got into a DeLorean and typed in October 25th 1985 for you Back to the Future buffs. We'll talk to you in a sec. I have to apologise. we had to rush. We're now walking down the street. We just got off the tube at Waterloo, which I think is the... Anyhow, there's a photograph there somewhere. Send me a note. I'll touch on Twitter. I'll send it to you. Whereabouts are we, Ed?
We're in Hampstead. In the lovely suburbs of Hampstead.
Yeah, we'll get back to it in a second. I promise you. Okay, just bear with me. You're okay in real time. All right.
Central London.
Okay, so we've had to... There's planes, trains, automobiles, isn't it?
It's 100 miles an hour, non-stop.
Where are we heading to, Ed?
We're heading to Gatwick.
Where are we now?
We're leaving Hampstead Way, approaching... we're heading via pretty central London.
Okay, so stay where you are. I promise. I'll be back with you shortly. Hold on, wait for it. Cracking tune, in fairness. Okay, talk to you in a few seconds. So we're stuck in traffic in somewhere Shire.
We are now in Yule.
Yule.
The accent doesn't quite get it. Yule.
I'm not getting into this one. I can't remember where we were apart from walking down the street, Ed.
Yeah, we were walking down the street. I think we were trying to talk about...
You don't remember?
No.
You at home will obviously turn around and say that was only 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
When in fact it's sort of not. But we're plugging away on this one and we're getting there. But the memory's a little bit wonky on what was said in real time about 2-3 hours ago at this stage of the game, and all forms of transportation later. Talk to me a little bit about building of a show garden, small, big or large. What makes a build go according to plan? What are the factors outside of, I suppose, the trees, the plants and the colours and the style of paving that makes it all click together, because there is a, there's almost like a secondary level of morale and weather and, I was going to say decent food, but when you're cold and wet and hungry and tired and it's 9 o'clock in the evening and something is just an endurance test, it can become a little bit, even though the garden might look superbly shiny on the outside, but it, you can look at that garden and say, God, I hated that. I say you, I don't mean to reference you, but one can look at a garden and reference it in that way.
Yeah, completely. There's lots of factors to consider. I think we're going back to what you need to do to make a garden build successful is you need to start whatever size the garden is with, you know, a good schedule, planning everything down. You know, you need to know when your deliveries are coming in, where you're going to put them. Are you going to ruin that bit of grass that's future going to be walked on by the public? You know, keeping your site clear, tidy, the logistics, all of that stuff needs to be planned to the nth degree. And
run around about, sorry, yeah. and Ed's talking to me, but we're good, we're going onto a straight road now, so it's okay. The male brain is really simplistic. I can build things and break things and drive in straight lines. After that I need to stop talking. Sorry, I'm joking.
Yeah. But yeah, there's lots of things to consider. And the one thing that's non-negotiable is two things that are non-negotiable are the time frames to build it in and what the weather's going to be like. So you just got to plan for all of that. You got to plan if it's going to be wet, can I still build? You know, the weather-dependent stuff, can we swap that around to another day if we need to do that? And, you know, all that stuff needs to take place. So yeah, proper planning.
I've seen people at gardens, building show gardens, my apologies, not necessarily first timers, this has got nothing to do with it, and if that's how you want to build your garden, then that's absolutely fine. But we were talking today about prepare to fail, fail to prepare, so to speak. Weather in mind, if it's inclement, you're right, your end dates don't change, the day of the opening of the show doesn't change, and so you take that into consideration and you build as much as you can off-site where possible.
Yeah, that's, I mean, anything, if you, some, it doesn't always work that way, sometimes you can't, but if you can, do whatever you can do that can be brought in and on the back of a lorry or craned in or dropped in or whatever, and that also relates to budget, but if you can do it, it's going to save you a lot of aggravation and get a better, you'll get a better finish, because when you've got the time to do it somewhere else, you can spend that time better, whereas on site you're under pressure and you've got the wrong tree delivered and you've got to get that swapped out and you're worrying about that while you're trying to do something else. So you know, the more you can do off site the better, in my opinion.
Have you ever made one decision in over the 13 show gardens that you built where you said, Ed Burnham, you are a very clever boy?
I don't know if I'd say that about myself, but I suppose more about the team. I'd go, that's clever that my team pulled that off. But I guess, if I'm honest, every garden has to have a little element of that, right? Because the show gardens should really push the boundaries to have something that either you haven't done before or is new to the industry in some way, or yeah, and. Well, even if it's down to a material or a method or whatever it might be, but there's always going to be something you go, I'm glad we pulled that off. And the other part that's probably not spoken about as much is that when you're building these gardens, you're kind of trying to cut some corners, because believe it or not, people, show gardens aren't 100% real. So we, you know, whether it's a cheat on the typical one would be, you know, rendering onto some ply boards, which is quite commonly done, you know, to get that quicker finish. But whatever it might be, so we'll surprise ourselves by the things we have to try and achieve and the way that we have to do it in order to. In order to cut the corner of and save time if it has to be built on site. So
we're sort of shown a little bit behind the curtains in mentioning the render on a sheet of marine ply and saying, well, there's your wall constructed. Mm. It's done within the space of 30 minutes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's done. It's done. You know, things like that. That's just one example. You know, you're trying to cheat and make things a little bit quicker. But these things also have to be removed because they're not going to live there forever. And it's perhaps, you know, I think sustainability in mind. You try and do things that are going to be more economic and also perhaps a little bit more sustainable. You know, that plywood can come down and be reused elsewhere. A brick wall tends to need to be smashed down and isn't going to get reused. So you're keeping a mindful eye on waste as well. Certainly that's the way we approach it, is how much are we going to be chucking away at the end of this, because we really don't want to where possible. So yeah, if the whole garden can move somewhere else, fantastic. But if it can't and we have to donate the plants somewhere, or we have to take the bit of slate back to somewhere for to do a school patio or whatever it might be, then that's what we'll do, and we'll distribute it where we can. So if we can make it easy to take down at the end, it'll all be shipped off somewhere else and reused where possible. So
I remember having a conversation with a designer, and it was about the relocation of a garden after a show, and he was explaining that the potential client to be couldn't believe it when he said, this garden here will cost you, we'll say it was 10 to build a show garden, we'll say the relocation of the show garden was maybe 60, and he couldn't understand it. And the designer went over and he just tapped, it was like one of those furniture adverts on the television, you know, just tapped on the wall and went, it's not real, don't you understand? I now have to go and build you a brand new brick wall, render and finish it, wait for that to dry. This process takes 3 days. Yeah. This one takes 10 minutes.
Yeah, of course. And then also you've got to consider the fact that the site that you're going to might not be appropriate. There could be a 100-foot drive to take the materials down once you get them on site, or there could be there's obviously going to be some element of digging out, there's going to be preparation to do. So whatever may happen on that site isn't what happened on a show site. There's lots of things to consider, and like you say, the walls will need rebuilding, things will need to happen, proper footings will go in, that it's, yeah, all those things need to be considered in an everlasting garden. Gardens need to last. We don't build them to on a day-to-day basis. We don't build a garden for it to last a year or two, or even for a week. We build it to last for as long as it can possibly last for.
What did you say the duration of our garden build is?
For Cardiff, we're looking at, it's a 2-week build, so we'll be on site for a majority of that, I guess.
All right. We won't have any hassles, will we?
Hassles. If the Welsh weather's good to us, I think we'll be all more than all right.
Excellent. Well, have we anything else to drop in? Apart from thanks to the listeners and Giles and the crew at CED and Perennial.
No, I think, yeah, it's always with thanks. These things, you know, it's a team effort. So, again, it's always, these things always come with thanks. And, yeah, we're hugely thankful to everyone, and especially for Perennial and CED, definitely.
There's a gaggle of you behind the scenes who I know are listening to this, and I'm under what do you call those media things, Ed, where you're not allowed to speak about something?
NDAs.
Yeah, I've got a non-disclosure agreement. It's not real when I'm only joking, where I can't mention you, but you know who you are, and I'll see you in Cardiff on the Saturday or the Sunday. What day are we doing the after soiree, Ed?
The Friday? No? First day of the show? No? Or the after?
Oh, the we're not allowed to talk about the other one, no?
Has that got an NDA? No?
I'm not allowed to talk about that either. It's RHS Cardiff takes place 12th to the 14th of April. Look forward to seeing you there. Anything you need, just drop us a line. Cheers. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.